show.
Hey, put a little. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Can I tell you that it's really weird to hear my father's opens as we're starting these segments? It's very weird.
Brad Ryder here with Owen Schaup. Owen Schaup. It didn't come out the way I wanted it to. I was trying to pretend that your dad was Owen. You are Owen. It's got to be your bull.
Right.
I was pretending. My jokes stunk. Why is it weird to hear your dad talking?
I think because I've heard these opens for so long, and now I'm having to get ready to speak myself, not hear him talk.
I got you.
And that's weird.
All right.
And I'm sorry for anyone out there that also thinks it's weird. I apologize. It's weird for me, too.
I hear people say that you sound like your dad, and it's almost never that I think it, but it's about once a show when I work with you, and there's some... It's not really words, it's noises.
It's noises.
Yeah,
I know. It's noises.
It happens every now and then. I like it. It makes me feel very comfortable. Because I've known I've known you the whole time. Like, how long have you known Owen Parker? The whole time.
All of it.
The whole time of Owen. You've known me for a while. I've known you the whole time.
Right.
But I've known your dad longer.
Correct.
So it makes me very comfortable. I have two corrections to make, and then one statistical analysis that I promised that I will give you.
Okay.
One correction. I said I didn't know. Well, it's not even a correction. Wasn't sure what was going on with Tim. Tim texted me and said, full go each of the next 3 days. So
huge.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Tim and I will be together in studio. We haven't been doing that much lately because of Bill's schedules, and then I was out of town for a day, all this stuff. I mistakenly said that Skylar Bell played at Minnesota. I think I did.
Right.
Instead of Wisconsin.
Right.
UB has been to Minnesota and has been to Wisconsin all within the last few years. So I saw him at Wisconsin. And then here's the Skylar Bell statistics. Why are the people who've seen this guy so excited? Why was I so excited when the Bills drafted Willis McGahee? Because I watched him destroy Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. And then next thing you know, he landed on the Bills. He was one leg short of the player he was at Syracuse, when they played at Syracuse, but that's not the point. Skylar Bell. 2023, Wisconsin hosting UB. Badgers won that game. Bell was a modest 3 catches, 14 yards.
Okay.
2024, UConn beat the crap out of UB. I'm going to make up a score, 45-7, something like that. Crushed them. Skylar Bell, 6 catches, 153 yards, 3 touchdowns. They were a 40-yarder, a 70-yarder, and a 12-yarder.
All right.
And then heading into the game against UConn last year, I remember thinking, uh-oh, Skylar Bell's on this team still. And in that one, they held him to 6 catches, 54 yards, and a touchdown. So if you combine all 3 games that I've seen this dude play live, 15 catches, 221, and 4 scores.
Wow.
If you just combine the last two, that's 12 catches, 207. And 4 touchdowns, 2 of them, a 25-yarder, a 40-yarder, and a 70-yarder. That's 3 of them, I know, and a 12-yarder. He's a big deal. So how soon do we see him? As soon as possible, in my mind. And also, if you talk to Sal about him, he'll tell you the story about watching him play and torching Syracuse.
Right.
So we've experienced this. We are people who watch football for a living and are like, that's a guy you want. So I want him on the field ASAP.
Good to, I agree. I think he's a very interesting player. And a guy, if you produce that much anywhere ever to me above, the youth sports level, then you've got something in there that can be special. And he produced at a really high level in college for a while. And so I was excited about him the day they drafted him. So I'm glad to hear you say that you've seen him, live and in person, and he's impressive. Minor update on Jamar Chase as well. He went on the radio and said that he's good. Little hyperextension, could have kept going if he needed to. So if you're, in the midst of a fantasy draft or about to be at a fantasy draft, it looks like you're okay if you're trying to draft Jamar Chase. Just a little context there. He's just recently went on a radio show and said, I'm fine. So that is good to hear, at least for, Jamar Chase's sake.
I root for injuries.
Ooh.
Not out loud.
Right. We've talked about this.
But oh no, Ja'Marr Chase isn't going to be ready for the season, is not the worst thing for a Bills fan to hear.
That's for sure.
And it's more, you know, A.J. Brown. I'd rather it's A.J. Brown.
Of course.
But I'm not, in the moment, I'm not like, I want that guy's leg broken often out loud. Part of winning a championship is having good luck with injuries and having other people have bad luck with injuries and mm-hmm. kind of getting some breaks. And there's a schadenfreude aspect. I've been doing a segment on the show just about every day where I'm like, ooh, here's something terrible that happened and didn't happen to the Bills, so this is awesome. Right. So when I hear Ja'Marr Chase is okay. got up limping, that's not, I don't go, oh no.
Right.
I go, oh, good. And I think if we could be honest about that, it would be, we'd be a better society.
Yeah,
we'd be
yeah.
a more honest society.
I'm
not rooting against him in particular. Nothing against him. But I would like everyone else to just kind of fall out of the way and let the Bills win the Super Bowl. That's what I'm looking for.
I can't, you know, be mad at you about that.
Right? Because so, you want it too. You just don't want to say it.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I think.
Or you're just a better person than I am, which is very likely.
Very likely might be a stretch. I haven't had that much time to build that much goodwill yet.
But, I've known you the whole time. Oh, yeah, I've known you the whole time.
That is true, if anyone would know.
All right. So what we've been doing and we will continue to do is we're checking in with Joe Brady. We're also taking your phone calls. So if you are so inclined, jump right in at 803-0550 because we like to connect with the fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. But Joe Brady spoke for 18 minutes. We've heard maybe half of it in that range. It took an hour to do, but it's because we're not just playing it. We're listening to him. It's like having him as a guest in the studio, and we are interacting, and we are welcoming your calls. If you've got a question for Joe Brady, save that, because he's not really here. This happened earlier. But we're live and reacting in real time. So let's get back on that, Zach. Here's Joe Brady.
Yeah, we're still like no different than the quarterback position. You know, we're right now not in a rush feeling like, hey, it's something that we have to, hey, we're naming things right now. And I like the competition. I like the guys being able to wake up and know that, regardless of anything, I'm going to just keep going. And so, you know, all of them are, you know, both Corbett and Alec, they're competing and they're going to be alternating in there. And
Skyler on the mind.
I love their personality. You know, you can tell they're like, I speak about connection all the time, and I do feel that the coaches and the players are doing a really good job of emphasizing that. And you can see by the way that they play, the excitement that they have for one another, the connection that they have. You see, you know, before they're going on the field, you know, it's preseason two and Bradley Chubb's bringing them all together and talking to them before the drive. Like it's, and then it, when they got on the field, you can see their excitement for guys making plays and they're celebrating each other's success. So to me, they have the right mentality by how they're going about it. And there's a lot of versatility to it. And so I think that needs to be an advantage for us going into the season. There's a lot of personnel groupings, a lot of different ways to get guys on the field, move things around that should put a lot of stress on opposing offensive coordinator, figuring out where guys are going to be and what personnels are going to be on the field while they're running said play.
I do a lot of talking on this station. I also do a lot of listening to the station. Two words that have not been said nearly enough this offseason, I believe, are Bradley and Chubb. That's a real, legit star mm-hmm. pass rusher who, yeah, he was hurt 2 years ago, and last year he wasn't, and he was real good for a not-so-great team. That addition is flying so under the radar right now. Every time I hear his name, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, he's here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nobody's talking about him.
I don't ever think about him, and that's not a good job for a guy that talks about the team. Like, I
just doesn't come should. Up. He doesn't come up.
Because he's a guy that has been good and done the job in a, you know, in an impactful way for a lot of years in the league. Here's the most I've thought about him. When TJ Parker talked about going to train with him, that's the most I've thought about Bradley Chubb this offseason, and that's probably not right.
We should be thinking about Bradley Chubb more than we're thinking about TJ Parker.
I think that's, yeah.
Now, if your name was Owen Chubb, maybe you'd think about him more.
Right. You know, first round pick, big free agent signing. Yeah, I think Chubb over Parker. I don't disagree with you there. I think that that's a you know, very, very fair point to bring up. I think how much better, like, that position, that unit, pass rushing specifically, is so critical for them and has been such a weak point and has been so lackluster. And is this finally a guy that, like, he doesn't need to be a superstar, but he's just got to be pretty good.
Well, I think we're jaded by the Von Miller thing, followed by the Joey Bosa thing, where it's like, oh, a former star pass rusher comes in and we don't really get production out of him. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just kind of attempting to soften the blow collectively if this one also doesn't work out. But this isn't like a one-year contract. Well, maybe it is a one-year contract, but that's not my
point.
He's
not a rental.
Yeah, right. It's not a trade at the deadline to bolster yourself for the playoffs. Like, no, it's a guy who's been a star in the league for a long time. He's a fifth overall pick the same year that Josh was drafted. He was drafted ahead of Josh Allen.
The whole thing was Bradley Chubb was there, and so Denver took him. They were going to take Allen if Chubb is gone.
Right.
I mean, they're connected in that.
Yeah.
I think a big thing with the Chubb stuff, and I remember talking with Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers the Dolphins for ESPN. Like, he mentioned, like, he loves the idea of Chubb on the Bills. And his big part was the Dolphins were terrible last year. Chubb was constantly double-teamed, coming off a torn ACL, and he had 8.5 sacks.
Yeah.
And my point was always, I mean, man, if he put up 8.5 sacks for the Bills last year, he would lead the team in sacks.
Russo had 7, Bosa had 5, Milano had 3.5, Daquan Jones 3, Ed Oliver 3, Epinesa 2.5. A lot of those guys are not going to be on the team this year. Putting him above, he goes above them. So that's a big deal.
But I think where it maybe burns Chubb, and this happens with a team that's in this window that the Bills are in, he wasn't one of the big names that people wanted. He isn't Garrett. He isn't Crosby. He isn't Trey Hendrickson.
Right.
He's not those guys. Right. And so when you do get the fourth or fifth option, it could still absolutely work. I think the Bills need to be a top 15 defense, and I mean 15 or 14, and they should probably be in the Super Bowl based on how the offense has been the last couple of years, based on how close these games have been. They don't have to have Trey Hendrickson. Would it be awesome? Sure, I'd love to be the Rams. But I think that's where maybe Chubb himself, you know, nothing to his fault. I think it's where he gets in trouble is just, I had the names of supermodels and Miss Universe going on.
Right.
And it's just a solid 8 out of 10. Like, that, no fault. Just, I had other things on my mind first.
It looks like a solid 8 out of 10 on paper, but what is it when it's actually a part of this defense as Jim Leonard gets control of it?
Do we actually have things in common?
Yeah. 803-0550 is the number. Let's talk to Mike next. Hey, Mike, you're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just called. It's finally nice to hear someone say the truth about other players getting injured on other teams. For years, I thought I was a bad person.
You are. We are.
Wanted Tom Brady to get hurt every year. And I'm not going to lie to you. When Mahomes hurt himself last year, I was like, it's about time something went against Kansas City. And I was not unhappy about it.
You know what I was unhappy about? It was so late in the season. They were dead anyway. And then he got hurt. And I was like, this is bad timing. I've been rooting for this guy to be severely injured on the field for years and years and years. And now it happens when they're a non-factor. I thought that was garbage.
Well, yes. And it also gives their fans an out. It's not like they were going to make it anyway. They were definitely not making the playoffs, whether he got hurt or not. But you still hear him saying, well, if Mahomes wouldn't have been hurt, well, they weren't making it anyway.
Right.
They stunk before that. And you know what? It's still good because this year I don't think he's going to be 100%. So that's good for us.
Yep.
That's the truth.
That's right. That's the one good part about how late in the season it happened is that there's a reasonable chance that it impacts this season too. But I was disappointed that he waited until they were dead before he got injured.
Right.
Sorry, America.
No, it's all right. I think you can quietly go like, yes. When an injury happens,
yeah,
I think where you cross into bad territory is like outward cheering.
Well,
I think that's your line.
I'm not going to do it on a UB broadcast. You know,
you're doing it on the WGR waves.
Yes, but this is not the game. This isn't the game.
That's true. That's
true. If I'm doing the game, and
the guy's fine, so this whole conversation doesn't need to. You know,
maybe he's fine. Or fingers crossed. No, he isn't.
Right. Or he's lying.
We're allowed to do this. All right. Back to Joe Brady.
Wanting to see him against NFL competition versus where he is and maybe how the whole room is in terms of a lot of guys being banged up.
You're saying with these rest of these days or just in general?
For Thursday night?
Yeah.
Will
Yeah.
And you said you'd like for him to, but how do you weigh that decision, meaning he's a little banged up, so is your room.
Yeah.
He's a little banged up.
Yep.
And wanting him for week one maybe is more important than just what goes into that.
Yeah, I think there's the component of wanting guys out there to, you know, play football and get in the stadium and go through this, no different than, you know, Josh Allen. And so Skyler hasn't had that opportunity yet. And so, but there's also, like, today's going to be a hard practice. And so I also want to make sure that, you know, we're progressing as a football team while also getting guys ready to go for the game. And that's where you're trying to balance in two different things. And so the full intent is he's going to be playing on Thursday. And we'll see kind of how it goes about, you know, this practice with the amount of reps that he's getting. But, you know, I would love to be able to see him in, you know, a live competition.
Was Terrell Bernard's absence yesterday injury related?
Yes.
Considering his.
I didn't hear who he said. Whose absence?
Terrell Bernard.
Okay.
No. I think he's in such a good place mentally. There's some guys right now that the focus is making sure that they're ready to go for week one. Terrell Bernard is not a guy necessarily fighting for a roster spot. You know, he's the leader of our defense and a starter, and I think he's in a really good headspace. He wants to get out there, and sometimes it's keeping him from himself. And so, TB's going to be good to go.
Hold on. Do we accept that he's not fighting for a starting spot? I accept that he's on the roster. Do we accept that he is just penciled in as a starting linebacker on the team?
It's a question that should probably be asked because he was – not great last year. I know he dealt with an injury that really, really hampered him.
Of course.
And his game even more specifically. Like that not being able to go side to side for a guy like Terrell Bernard is tough. So I try to hold that in my mind when I think about last season. But there were points of last season where it was like, man, is this guy worth the deal he's on?
And that's under McDermott. Mm-hmm. So this is the head coach telling me that the defense, which is not his side of the ball, but the new coordinator, that clearly this guy's a starter. And I don't think that's 100% clear. I'm not saying he's lying. I think that's the right way to talk about Terrell Bernard.
Right.
But I don't know that he, when all is said and done, that he is on the field as a starter for this team all year long.
I don't think he needs to be. Definitely, like, I would not be surprised if you told me at the end of the year there was a moment where Bernard got off and was not starting for them all the time because of Caleb Ulmarsor and how just impressive he seems to have looked. And we know how they feel about their other backers. I think it's a very interesting position for them.
I like when Dorian Williams is on the field.
I know.
A lot.
It's interesting. He's aggressive and fast and pretty fun. And, like, doesn't that kind of sound like Jim Leonard defense,
right?
To you,
so yeah. So I,
not that Bernard isn't fat, like that is like maybe his defining trait. No, like he's a quick, agile backer, but linebacker, but he's not.
I would say skinny might be his defining trait.
I mean, when he was taken out of Baylor, the prevailing thought was, is he going to move to safety?
Is that a safety?
Yeah. Like, right. Are we sure this is a linebacker?
I don't mean he can't be on the team. This is in no way me bashing Bernard. It's just there are people on the team that I'm more excited to see on the field than him.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just recency bias. And, I mean, I love that last year they picked one defensive captain, and that's who it was. So that gives you an idea of the respect that people have for him in that building. But I don't think it's a fair assumption that that guy is the starter all year long.
No, I think that's fair.
I do wonder, though, with him, real quick, I wonder with him with Jim Leonard, because I would say outside of his size and his speed, the big thought was when Bernard gets the starting middle linebacker spot after Edmonds leaves was, oh, hell, he can make a big play. Because you went for 2 years with Edmonds of, oh, he just missed that interception. Oh, he just missed that sack. Mm-hmm. He just missed that tackle for loss. Mm-hmm. Where Bernard's entire first year was, man, that seems to be the only thing he can do. Like, if I want the little stuff, maybe not so much. The big plays, yes. And talking with Sal the last couple of weeks, like, that's the Jim Leonard defense, which is they might give up more big plays than we're used to, but they're going to have more big plays. And that's, I think, Bernard's rookie year. He maybe has six, or not rookie year, but his first year starting. He has, like, 6.5 sacks. He's got, like, 3 picks. Like, it was all big plays.
Yeah.
All right, back to Joe Brady.
Michael fight in his rank up this season. Will we see him fight Thursday night?
Yeah, he's the whole intent, the ramp up all along has been him continuing to get a lot of reps, you know, and he's, I think he's in, like, I was never even athletic enough to hurt an Achilles, but to see how fast his recovery has been and his the way that he's attacked it and going out on the field and seeing some of the movements, I mean, he should be a very, very productive football player for us. And so we've been very intentional about what we've done with him. And Again, he's going to take a lot of reps today, and then we'll talk after practice. But I know he's a guy that would love to get out there and get on the field and be able to get some contact and hit and on Thursday. And it's a matter of, is that the best thing for him as we kind of come away from today?
That's another, oh yeah, guy, like the Bradley Chubb thing. The six quarters that we watched this defense with Michael Hoyt active was an entirely different defense from what they had the rest of the season. And I like that. I'd like to play him on Thursday, but I'd much prefer to play him next Sunday.
Right.
So that's kind of what I was hearing there, and I'm excited about that.
I agree. I have been a little bit of a, like, okay, Michael Hoyt was awesome for those six quarters. He's not Aaron Donald. He's not Miles Garrett, everybody. Like, he's going to be fun. I think he's going to be very good. And the way he spoke about him there is, like, that's a bankable asset, they think. I appreciate that. But I think his folklore maybe is getting a little sizable for what maybe we should all be expecting. Even if I'm expecting good to great things, the way I hear people talk about him is like, oh, he's going to come change the game for them. Like, okay, I'll believe that when I see that. Because, like, you know, he's never been a dominant every down sort of player.
But he's an, oh, yeah, him too.
Right.
In this
I don't disagree with that.
Every time I hear it, I was like, oh, yeah.
That's cool. A good piece.
All right, back to Joe Brady.
What are you looking for in your punt return? And how much of that communication is with Jeff and what he wants?
Yeah, there's a lot of different factors. The number one thing is I want the ball back, right? And that's a, I know that sounds like that's not a big deal, but that is that's a huge component. Is right, we have to be able to win fourth down. In order to win fourth down, we got to get the ball back to the offense. And so that's such an easy thing, but that's a really hard thing to do. And then it's about us making great sound decisions with that, right? And I'm not necessarily saying we need a guy that's going to score a touchdown every time he touches the ball, but is he going to consistently make sound decisions?
But if he's available, I'd take him.
And I think we have a group of guys that are still kind of competing for that. And it's hard to get, they're also catching two different punters. And so that's been really beneficial to us, just the different type of styles. And it's hard to get a lot of reps. And so we can't, just like we couldn't manufacture some of the punts, it's hard to manufacture some punt returns in the game on Thursday, but I'm hoping that we'll get some of those opportunities to be able to, for someone to be able to kind of take that and run with it.
All right, I'm going to throw this in there. You absolutely can manufacture punts. You can punt whenever you want. If you have the ball, you can punt. You can't manufacture punt return opportunities because the other team decides when they punt. If you want to punt on third down, or if you want to not go for it on fourth and three because you'd like to test out your punter, you can do that.
You're allowed.
He has mentioned this multiple times. Like, we had no chance to punt in the Carolina game. Sure you did.
Right.
How many snaps did you take? Any one of them could have been a punt if you wanted it to be.
If you
I'm not
really,
saying it
really
should be,
it
but
be.
You can't just say we couldn't. You could have. Right. You could have. All right, we got to take a break. Timeout. Owen Parker is here. I'm Brad Ryder. In for Shope and the Bulldog today on WGR. Hanging tough. NKOTB.
Woo!
Wow.
Here we go.
Oh. Bills are hanging tough as we get set for the regular season to kick off on September 13th at the Houston Texans. One more preseason game to go. That will be Thursday at home against the Steelers. Owen, have you been to the new stadium yet?
I have not. I'm thinking about going on Thursday.
I have heard tickets are cheap,
yeah,
available and cheap on secondary market.
Not bad to get in there.
Yeah.
Under 100 for sure.
Yeah.
I
don't need to do it because I already did it. We had two tickets for the preseason opener, so my wife and one of my sons went. Then we got four tickets for the peasant practice.
Right.
And I took all three of my sons. So now my whole family has been in the building.
Nice.
And the rest of the season is going to be on television. So I'm okay with that. I thought it was great. I loved it there. But I you do want to get in there and check it out.
I got to get in there.
You want to know what people are talking about when they're calling the shows, right?
Yeah, right. I've not had the experience yet. I will be interested in like just the building, like the architecture of the building. I used to build houses, so it's kind of an interesting thing to me. And I just, it's the Bills' new stadium. I gotta go see it. I gotta see if I can get rope somebody in to come into it with me. Cause I know the old man probably won't do it. Not that he could really make it. He's doing his show at that time. So
right, yeah, that hurts. That's that's tough. That's why my wife went to the game, because I was doing the post-game show.
Right.
So she went and took the one kid. Anyway, real season, regular season, September 13th, and we're getting set for it by checking in with Bills head coach Joe Brady, who spoke today before practice, and we've been working our way through it since 3 o'clock. And I don't feel bad about that, because it's like we just have him on the show the whole time.
Yeah.
And we're pausing it. We're taking your phone calls at 803-0550 and just kind of kicking around some Bills thoughts as we're getting closer to the regular season. So let's return to that. We do have Carl Jones from Channel 4 joining us at 5:30 p.m. And your phone calls welcome throughout at 803-0550. Right back to Joe Brady we go.
Joe, Jim said that you called this week the hardest week in the NFL. Obviously, you've been around it before.
Yeah.
Whatever this position, what has it been like for you?
Yeah, it's not easy at all. It's honestly, it's harder now as the head coach, because before it was really hard on me for the 40 guys I was coaching. Now it's the 90, and I don't take what I do lightly, and with the work that these guys do for me lightly. And that's why I've always struggled. You know, you guys have heard when people say it's just a preseason game, or especially preseason three, when it's like, it's preseason three. It's like, no, this is these guys' like lives, and some of these guys might not ever play football again. And so that's my job, is to give them everything that they got, you know, going in there. And so that's part of the reason why we're doing some of these jog throughs for some of those guys, is so that they can, whether it's for the Buffalo Bills or for not, they're going to get to put their best performance out on the football field on Thursday. And so you're trying to balance the, hey, get the Buffalo Bills continuing where they need to go with some of the guys that haven't got a lot of the reps, and then also getting these guys fresh to go. And no, it's not fun conversations as part of it comes with the job, but I owe it to those guys to give everything I got to let them go out and compete and be at their best on Thursday.
Joe, you've got some tough decisions coming with the reserve offensive line. It's a pretty deep group. How does a couple guys getting injured kind of change the whole topic of conversation around that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you never want injuries, but there's a body of work. None of these injuries are from a timetable that it's going to be out for, where it's going to should impact roster decisions. And, you try to take into consideration the body of work and not just kind of, hey, where things are right now. And I feel really good about our offensive line and the depth that we have and the versatility of the guys being able to play inside and outside, guys that can play guard and center. Again, you always want your starters to roll, but there's a confidence level of knowing that you got guys in the back end that can, you're not going to blink if they have to go in.
Where's CJ? And are you concerned at all that he and Cole haven't had as much probably time in the field together as you would want getting into the season?
Yeah, I don't know if concern is the right word, but the reality is you're in a new defense, and CB, between Maxwell, Cole, and CJ, you haven't had some of your starters in there on a consistent basis. And but they've played a lot, CJ's played a lot of football, and it's like, all right, well, we can't control, them being out on the football field right now with some of the injuries, but how do we manufacture? And it's really just the communication, right? We know they all can play the techniques and whatnot. It's like, hey, what are they all on the same page speaking both verbally and non-verbally? Or we're going to play on the road, and then we're going to play Thursday night at home, and it's going to be loud. And do they have the body language to speak to each other and be able to understand what that means? And so that's why we do all these jog throughs at the end of practices. That's why we have the intentionality is for these guys to go in there and to be able to hear them kind of talking and doing some of those things. They've been really intentional about doing extra on their own. Yeah, it's not live. There is something about being able to go out there, and I don't want to say it's a concern, but obviously you wish, you had all those guys out there. But, I'm sure you guys have probably heard from CJ once or twice, and he'll be ready to go.
That secondary stuff, I think, is going to be very interesting to watch as they get closer to the season, and even Thursday to me. And we'll get into that with Carl Jones, because that's right up his alley.
Well, he's a DB.
He's a DB, played at Syracuse, and he's awesome at talking about the position and all the little stuff.
I've never spoken to him. I just like him on TV. He seems cool.
He's great. He's great. I can't wait. I'm going to ask him about the nonverbal communication stuff, because I think that's going to be fascinating. And I am... Once again, I was this way last year at the end of training camp with, I think it was Cole Bishop missed time last year too, right?
Yep, he has to play Tampa game to build up the calluses.
Right, and I remember being very worried about, is he going to know what he needs to know? Is he going to be comfortable with what he needs to be comfortable with? And the one thing that gave me a lot of solace in that was that Sean McDermott was the head coach, and that Sean McDermott was the DB whisperer. He was Mr. Safety and Mr. Cornerback. Like, he made those guys great, and he got them to understand what he wants to do. And I think that's going to be another sort of revealing moment out of, okay, how does Jim Leonard really have the chops that everybody's saying he does? Because he played safety. We all know that. Like, he was great, and he was very exciting, and that is his number one, I think, trait that we all talk about is, like, well, he's very good at, you know, explaining how the game works and what he wants from his scheme and all that. And to me, being faced immediately with the challenge of, all right, your starting safeties are both going to miss time at different times through camp. Your second year first round corner is also going to be out for a good chunk of time. And he was out last year for a good chunk of time. And you got to catch all these guys up, dude. Let's see it and check out the schedule. Not going to be any, you know, sort of warming up to do. Like, not that Houston's super scary, but, like, it gets hot fast that defense.
Yeah, it launches. And the season launches.
So I'm very curious what that's going to be like. Like, how ready is he to take that challenge on?
All right, back to Joe Brady.
Ty Johnson will be ready for the regular season.
Yeah, Ty, the recovery with everybody, like we said, we have plenty of time before this first game, and I'm learning all of these guys, but Ty went from not walking to now he's running. So, you know, I feel like he's in a good headspace and a good mindset, and, it's, you know, we'll just kind of see what that's going to look like from, as we were going into game week.
Is that the first we've heard Ty Johnson was not walking? I hadn't heard Ty Johnson
was surprised
was not
by
walking.
That driving in this morning. I was like, He did say not walking, correct?
Right. Like, does that mean crutches? Is that a scooter? Is that just not walking like he's limping like that? Or like,
I assume scooter.
He said not walking.
Yeah, not walking seems scary.
But I was running.
Well, right. It was a scary looking non-contact thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then they didn't cart him off. He got up, but I don't remember now. I know that I went from being scared to being far less scared.
Yeah.
This was our Jamar Chase moment.
Right.
See, that one I wasn't rooting for because I like the Bills, not the Bengals.
Fair enough.
Somebody in the chat is like, you root for injuries. You're a scumbag. Like, yeah, I know that's how it comes off. Whatever. But I'm just honest.
Listen, everybody, we could all use a little more honesty out here these days.
That's all I'm going
Let's
for.
Praise Brad for his.
Oh, let's not praise anyone.
I'll praise.
Thank you so much. All right, so we're done. We made it all the way through. Joe Brady talked for 18 minutes, and it only took us an hour and 42 minutes
to get through it.
To get through it because we talked too much too. But that's kind of the gig,
isn't that the point?
I think so.
You know, you tell us. Was it interesting? I don't know.
Overall, Brady sounds exactly like I would sound if you asked me about the injuries, which is we don't play for a while, man. Like, we're tried. Nobody's in traction.
Right.
Like, nobody's been hospitalized.
We're good here.
Yeah.
Let's all pump the brakes.
You know, would I expect every single one of these guys that ridiculous list of players that Zach has been reading during the updates, right. Would I expect every single one of them to be 100% ready to go on the 13th when the Bills take on the Texans? No.
Probably not.
But I think most of this will be resolved. It's August. It's okay.
Right.
So that's kind of where I am.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open, by the way, and will continue to be so at 803-0550. If you are so inclined, feel free to jump in. We have mentioned that Dolly Parton died at age 80, which stinks. I feel like that's all we've talked about the Bills and Dolly Parton so far today. And there are many other things that were on the list before we decided to go full Brady.
Yeah, right. We did go full Brady. We got plenty we can do here, including more Bills.
Well, yeah, that's
if
right.
If we wish.
No, that's right.
If that's what we want.
Well, what are through two preseason games, what is your general impression of this team? I'll give you mine real quick, and then then it's your turn. Just the first two drives of the Carolina game, I watched receivers running wide open, unlike anything I've seen in recent memory with the Bills. Unlike anything I've seen since Diggs and Davis were together. And I don't know if that's Brady unlocking things, if that's development in Josh, if that's Brady changing his approach because he doesn't have to answer to McDermott anymore, or if they have improved their receiving core that much. I mean, DJ Moore is a tremendous addition. And we saw that on the, second play of the Carolina game where he's just standing alone underneath and then goes for 32 yards. And it just, the vibe looks right on offense. The defense, it looks different. And there are so many moving parts, and especially with the defensive backs, as he's talking about, everybody's hurt. People are in and out of the lineup. This isn't the real team yet. But from a schematic standpoint, even though they're pretty vanilla right now, it still looks to be a more aggressive group and a more aggressive approach. So, I mean, I couldn't feel better. I know it's just two preseason games, and that caveat exists in everything that we're saying right now. Right. But I'm very pleased with everything that has happened so far.
Yeah, I think – it'd be hard not to be, but I am very heavily in the camp of, like, it's the preseason. I don't really care that much about anything I've seen.
No new problems have popped up, I guess.
And that's good. There's been nothing that I've seen that necessarily is, ooh, I'm a little worried about that. Maybe, I take that back. I have not seen any real quarterback pressure. In a significant way, aside from a couple of good plays from Deion Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Landon Jackson got a nice tackle for a loss in the second game. But it's very pedestrian from the line so far. And I think if there was one thing we would ask that improves this season, it's that on the defensive side of the ball. And I would have, even if it's just, okay, there's Greg Rousseau, beat a guy. There's a guy, he got to a quarterback. Yeah. Awesome. I just haven't seen really any of that.
Changed the throw, forced him off his spot. Doesn't even have to be a sack. Yep.
It's felt very comfortable for all the quarterbacks they're playing for the most part, even though, you know, Deshaun Watson stunk it up. I think it's been a little easy back there. So if I had to pick nitpick something, that's probably it.
If you're trying to find an uh-oh, there it is.
Right. And I don't really take any woo-hoos out of this time of year.
Fair enough.
So
803-0550, timeout. Owen Parker along with Brad Ryder on WGR.